right, 7:34, Mondays and Fridays, we talk with Hall of Famer Mike Ditka and Brother Johnny, and Mike will join us momentarily. Johnny, phone is being turned on as we speak.
Stevie, what's up?
Are you in New Orleans?
Over in Houston, Texas. Getting ready for the water coming down the river.
Well, I just read a story about this, the Morganza Spillway. Is that right? They had to open it up. It's either New Orleans and Baton Rouge get pummeled, or you got to pummel the rural. What are you going to do?
Well, there's 25,000 people in the
Hold on.
Area.
Mike has just joined us. Mike, good morning from Chicago.
Yeah, I'm here. I just forgot to put my phone on. I'm sorry, boys.
No, we just started. Johnny's talking about Morganza Spillway and a lesser of two evils. You either flood New Orleans and Baton Rouge, or you flood the rural areas, I guess, right, Johnny?
Well, it's exactly right. You just did it up in Illinois with Cairo, and they had a lot of farmland, and some farms flooded to relieve the height of the river, so Cairo wouldn't flood. I had a remarkable number of people telling me we should have flooded Cairo, but I haven't been there for a while, apparently. Mm. They're not impressed with the town. But there's just a lot more people in Baton Rouge and New Orleans, and Steve, they have a kind of a river height, and that triggers this opening of the spillway, which lowers the river as it goes down. And then that height's 17 feet, and it got to that actually has some margin in it. So I don't think there'll be any trouble in Baton Rouge, New Orleans. But then there's this large area that's going to be flooded, including farmland, and then a lot of folks who live in that area, their homes will be flooded. Mm. So.
Tell you, Mike, you know the feeling in Naples when hurricanes come. I guess you just got to deal with Mother Nature. There's not much you can do.
Yeah, it's almost, you got to take the worst of the situation and try to correct it. I mean, it's not good for anybody, but it's the best thing because you can't let the populated areas get flooded.
Yeah.
Well, and I'll tell you, one thing that is interesting, there's just a lot of concern in New Orleans, much more than I would have thought, which is, and then the people who are getting flooded are thinking that they really may be jumping the gun. It's an indication of some of the things we've talked about, Stevie, about the lack of confidence in our leaders. I think you can see that when something like this happens.
Mm-hmm.
The New Orleans area people that I know that usually wouldn't be too worried about it are worried that they're not being told the truth, that it might actually come over the levee, maybe we would flood. Of course, we are a little gun-shy from Katrina.
Yeah.
I think there is something to having confidence in the people we put in charge of things. And I think I see a little weakening there.
How does Chicago feel about the new mayor, Rahm Emanuel, I guess is inaugurated this morning?
Well, I really haven't followed it that carefully. I guess there's a certain degree of optimism. You got to remember one thing, that the former mayor, Richard Daley, he did what was best for the city of Chicago. It's a good city. You know, for a major city of its size, it's pretty clean, pretty safe. I mean, when you look at all the things that he's put in here, he's done a pretty good job. So I think he's got big shoes to fill. And I mean, then again, Chicago politics is pretty interesting as it is. So if you get a little bit off of that, then it's really interesting. So we'll see what happens. But you got to give him the benefit of the doubt and hope everything moves forward.
Well, have they reached out? Has Rahm Emanuel people reached out to Mike Ditka at all or not?
I don't think that's part of the agenda, guys. I really don't think so. I don't think you're going to see that happening.
Well, you are Chicago. Johnny, you say Chicago. You think Mike Ditka, for crying out.
Right. Yeah, I think so. I think Emanuel has certainly had political experience there. I'm going to say he's probably a pretty good mayor, but we'll see. I don't know him.
I think the one thing you got to understand, we all talk about political experience, but sometimes you got to talk about leadership, because political experience is just being in the political arena. The leadership is leading. It's actually being in a position of authority where you make tough, hard decisions about leading people in the direction you want to go. And I think that's what we have to understand. I don't know what his background is totally, but I think it's very important that you do lead, and that you don't always go to the beat of the drum. You go to what's right. It's not what's popular, it's what's right.
What's happening in the Middle East apparently is historic. I mean, what we're seeing with the power shifts and protests and protesters being killed. Hamas this morning has issued a prayer to an end for Israel. I mean, this is going to be a very turbulent next 6 months in the Middle East. Who knows what's going to happen? but it feels very historic. It feels almost like a fuse has been lit.
Well, if a fuse was lit, you better be careful, because if you light it with Israel, you're going to have a problem. I mean, they're not going to take it sitting down. This is a united country that they stick together. They've existed in the Middle East for hundreds of years, and they're going to continue to exist at whatever cost it is. So there certainly is no fear in them if they have to do something, and they'll do it.
Well, and Steve, it's been, when we were in high school, I remember talking about the Middle East as a powder keg.
Yeah, right.
And the idea was it just could blow at any time. Well, maybe it's blowing. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's hard to get that genie back in the bottle once it starts to fall apart, because most of the regimes, they rule with an iron fist. And if the people get out, they're either going to get totally crushed or there'll be chaos. So we'll see.
Yeah.
It is historic. That's true. And of course, it has a direct effect on the United States. And we'll see more of that if it continues.
And we've talked to 5 or 10 people, experts, in the last 10 days, maybe 2 weeks, including Oliver North. Everybody says Iran. Iran is the problem there. Iran is the one that wants to wipe Israel off the map. This first time ever Iran's had a president that's publicly said, we're going to wipe them off the map at a speech. I mean, he says it over and over again. So how do you deal with that? If you're Israel, you're going to say, wait a minute, we can't let them go nuclear. We can't. They're going to blow us up.
Well, they're trying to protect themselves.
You're right, yeah. You're right. I mean, Iran's bad. I mean, this guy is also, you know, he's now an expert about everything, you know, Ahmadinejad, whatever his name is, and you know, talking about, you know, what the U.S. did wrong in Pakistan, and, you know, going in and killing Osama bin Laden. Listen, guys, you know, people got to get over this stuff. It's absolutely insanity to me that here's some of the worst people you can envision, and is being protected by the Pakistani government, and we're supporting or aiding the Pakistani government. To me, it's totally incredible that we don't have more sense in this, that we don't cut all aid, I don't even care if we cut relations with them.
Well, and I'll tell you, Ahmadinejad, the Iranian leader, was, we think, was one of the hostage holders, because Paul Lewis swears he recognizes the guy.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's been involved in this, you know, type of anti-Americanism for his entire life, and then anti any of our Western civilization, I guess. So there's always somebody, Steve, you know, that's the problem. We got bin Laden, but there's a lot more.
I guess what's changed is the fact that there's so many weapons now that can kill a bunch of people at once. Maybe that's a dynamic that has changed, where more people maybe have access to dirty bombs and all these other fears that we have.
I don't think there's any question about that. I mean, there are weapons that probably you and I and John don't even know about that could probably destroy a lot of people in a lot of area in a very short period of time.
And if you think about the protection that we have had, I think you have to give credit to a lot of our folks. We hear about a lot of the things they catch, and then I'll bet we don't hear a lot of the things. And, you know, there's so many people that would take advantage to harm us, and yeah, we've been able to enjoy our lives by and large, so I think we should give credit to the people that are protecting us from that kind of thing.
Absolutely. Because
there's more and more of these things that can hurt us.
Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka on every Monday and Friday from 7:30 to 8, 7:43 on this Monday morning, 93.5, 95.3, the New Connect FM. Headline this morning says the President of the United States, Barack Obama, is working to increase oil supplies. Johnny?
Now, Steve, I'll tell you something. Two, 3 weeks ago, I felt bad because I was just ranting about Obama said in a speech, he said, anyone who tells you that stopping offshore drilling had anything to do with increasing the gas price at the pump isn't telling you the truth. That's what he told. He was reading a teleprompter, and I advise he throw his teleprompter out of Air Force One. Now, that was, of course, what I say ages ago, two, 3 weeks ago. Today, he's got to increase offshore drilling because gas prices at the pump are too high. Now, Steve, something's got to give.
Right.
I'll tell you, Mike, I don't know if you ever saw the movie The Shining. It had Jack Nicholson was this psychopath writing a book, and he was kind of testy, kind of seemed like a bad guy, and he told his wife and kids to leave him alone. Finally, his wife and kids snuck a peek at the book he was writing, which was 1,100 pages, and he'd been working on it for 6 months. 1,100 pages of single-space type. He's hand-typing it. All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. And then she realized... Now, I felt a little bit like her when I was reading that yesterday, going, what is Barack Obama thinking? He's nuts. And it certainly wasn't rational that, okay, 3 weeks ago had nothing to do with gas pump. Now we have to
increase supply to make the price go down.
He's right about that. And the question is, what is he really going to do? I don't know. What's he going to say tomorrow? So I don't know.
You can't be wishy-washy. There's been a lot of presidents in our country, a lot of people in leadership, but, you know, sometime that decision is not going to be the most popular decision. Abe Lincoln's decision wasn't a very popular decision at the time, but he made it, and we carried forth, and we existed because it was the right thing to do. We get so caught up in doing what's popular instead of what's right that we really don't understand what the heck's going on. And I think he has to understand this, that you can't be wishy-washy, man. You're the head of the most powerful nation in the free world. I mean, you know, you got to stand up and be accounted for right there.
Well, it'd make me feel a little better if he would have just said, you know, I might have been wrong about that, but we really do need offshore drilling. There's just no reference to it. I mean, if it was 6 months ago, it'd be a little bit better, but how fast are we supposed to forget what he just said?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, there seems...
you're right, John, but I mean... It's an incredible situation to me. I mean, you know, hey, make a decision, go forward.
I tell you what, decision making is not that easy, and I know that decisions at the White House level have to be incredibly hard. And
absolutely, but
he's never really made a lot of decisions. That was one of the points as far as his experience. You know, when Dwight Eisenhower took over, how many big decisions had he made during World War II? Enormous decisions. Whether you go to Normandy, where you all do, but when you don't have, I mean, these high level, you're going to have 50% on this side say this is the ramifications. 50% of the other side say, well, you're going to kill X number of people here. I mean, these are hard calls. There's no question. But for
it really is. I mean, you go back, and anybody who, if you haven't been a governor or you haven't been in a leadership position, no matter where you came from, and all of a sudden now you're thrown into the presidency, that's pretty tough. I mean, you look at all the guys, even Reagan. I mean, he was a governor before he became president. You got to make tough decisions. And like I said, they're tough and they're not popular all the time, but you got to make them.
But it's not just making decisions. It's making decisions in a real-life environment. Mike, when you were coaching, you'd say, hey, we're going to try this off tackle. Well, if it didn't work, you know, somebody got creamed, and they're looking at you and say, that didn't work. That's the reality of a bad call.
Yeah.
Then you make a good call, and there's a touchdown because you saw that guy was kind of lagging, and your man said, hey, I can beat him deep. And so there's a connectivity to the result and to reality, and I think that's where – the president didn't have the type of experience in as a law professor from Harvard. A lot of theory, a lot of isms, and a lot of talk about idealism, and then how does that connect to reality? It just doesn't work like it does on paper sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, realism, John, is the fact that I never made a mistake.
Well, and that's important. You do have to
about 100 a minute.
I'll tell you though, you make a good point. You have to be able to say that I made a mistake,
hey,
and I
absolutely.
Have it.
Politically,
that's hard to do, and a lot of guys don't do it. But I don't know that Barack Obama feels like he has made a mistake. I just wonder sometimes when Congress was switched from Democratic to Republican, which I didn't think could happen, that he said that we didn't understand what he was trying to say. It wasn't his fault.
Yeah.
And I think we do understand. I think it was trying to tell him, you need to switch. And I just don't know yet about whether he's able to admit he's made some mistakes and that he's wrong about
saying,
things.
There's an old saying, either lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way.
Well, we've got tough times. It's not like he's come into an easy time. I mean, not that it would ever be, but these are tough times.
There's always tough times. What about wartime? What about making decisions like that?
Yeah.
These are all tough times.
Yeah.
The economy, a lot of it's brought on, by some of the decisions. I was going to make one. When's the last time you met a politician who said he made a mistake?
Yeah, right. Hey, we're going to take our break right here. We'll be right back with Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny. That'll be coming up next on 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. I am Stevie J, so glad you're listening here on this Monday morning. Let's check your Connect FM three-day forecast from the National Weather Service.
High near 60 today with the sunshine, down to 36 this evening. 62 the high with sunny skies tomorrow, down to 44. Partly cloudy Tuesday night, partly sunny on Wednesday with a high of 63. We're at 42 on Connect FM, 93.5, 95.3.
Back with Mike and Johnny next on the new Connect FM at 7:50, 10 till 8. Back with Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka, Hall of Famer Mike Ditka, member of the National Academy of Sciences, Brother Johnny. All right, the Space Shuttle Endeavour lifts off next to last Space Shuttle mission. These things are crafted to go 100 missions. We're cutting them off at like 39, maybe even less. Should we stop the shuttle program? You guys have any feeling on that?
I don't think so. I think that's a mistake. I think it's a... It's a $20 billion program, which with the numbers I hear thrown around, is nothing. And it's also going to be spent anyway. I think they're switching to more of a rocket approach to the back to the more Apollo rocket technology. So it's not like we're getting out of the space program, but flying out of the atmosphere has kind of been our technical goal instead of just blasting it off. And I wish we would try to get the next generation of shuttle instead of canceling the shuttle concept. But, yeah, I think that's it, Steve. Today they're going to launch.
What are we looking for, John?
Well, it's technology. It's just increasing knowledge of the unknown. And I think that that's worthwhile. I think that there's things we can find in outer space that we would never find, and I think we can maybe make the world a better place. I think it's worth the kind of money. Again, I go back to the amount. If it was $1 trillion, it wouldn't be worth it. If it's $100 billion, you could probably fight it. But $20 billion, I don't know. They gave GM three times more than that. And so I don't know whether I would shut the program. And like I said, I don't think they're going to save $20 billion. That's the entire NASA budget. So it's maybe saved 5 or 10, but I'm sorry to see it go. No. Although I do think we're ready for a new level. The space shuttle's technology is old now. So
yeah. All right. Let's see. Johnny's buddy KJ Choi wins the Players Championship in golf yesterday. Johnny, you golfed with KJ.
I didn't golf with him, but I talked with him one time. He did a FCA event, and really quite a good guy. Of course, David Tom's an LSU guy.
Yeah.
So we're for both of them. And KJ is pretty good, Mike. He's got a pretty good rhythm. They both were. David Toms was hitting that drive. Boy, I hit one like that once. But
I tell you, he just can't. You know, he decelerated on the last putt. There's no question what he did. I mean, that happens to the best of them, and felt bad for him. I really did. But I tell you what, you know, I think it's good for golf. Troy is. I thought Troy was. He was so gracious with the gallery. I mean, he was. Acknowledging people and talking to people and throwing them the ball. I mean, he did a lot of things I think it should be done in golf. I think that he connected with the gallery, with the people.
No question. KJ Choi, what a gentleman. I don't remember coming up 18, a camera in a guy's face that close, and KJ was just waving and smiling and trying to be as gracious. Yeah. And Tom's made a putt to take it to sudden death. And I tell you what, that 17s just get your knees buckling, I guess.
And well, Steve, we did that in the wind, and we failed. We had to move because there was someone behind us. We failed to get the ball in the green. Steve healed it left, Mike, and unfortunately missed the water entirely and was able to then chip it on the green.
Mike said, Johnny, after I hit my tee on 17, Johnny says, the bad news is Steve missed the island. The good news is Steve missed the water. So I kind of yanked the left, but it was a great approach in from that angle, actually.
Well, it's lucky because the rest of us didn't even get it on the green. So anyhow,
all right,
we played a scramble, so we were able to finish the hole at least.
How good are the Bulls, Mike? They looked great last night.
Well, you know, the key to the Bulls is one thing, guys. It's when they play that defense, I don't care who they're playing, they're pretty good. I mean, that's what he is. He's a great coach. I mean, he's a great defensive coach.
Who is this
guy?
They
pay attention to details. Listen. They believe in him right now. He understands. He's got him playing as a team. And if you look at that team really outside of, you know, one guy, who do they have? They have a bunch of other guys that are role players who play their roles very well. Noah stepped up pretty well. You know, Boozer stepped up pretty well. But I tell you, Rose is one heck of a player.
Oh, he really is. Boy, he can play, Johnny. He can.
Well, that Noah Joakim's always been a key player. I'll tell
you
what.
He, you know what he does? He plays hard, Johnny. You saw yesterday, you know, he missed a shot. He went after. He got the rebound. He hung in there. He threw it back. He got a three-pointer out of him. I mean, it's just the guy works hard, and you've got to appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, they have a good shot. It's fun watching them. I'm not going to say I'm glad the Lakers are out, but I am kind of because I like watching these other teams.
Well, and then you got Oklahoma City and Dallas, so you're going to have a unique matchup for the NBA Finals. So
that's going to be great. That's going to be a great series right there. Those guys, those two young guys out of Oklahoma City, pretty good.
Unbelievable.
Dallas is a good basketball team, let's face it. Yeah. I mean, the Mavericks have been close for a long time. They finally got the nemesis out of it when they got the Lakers out of it, so let's see where they go.
Yeah. Always fun. Guys, we'll leave it there, but we'll catch up on Friday as we get together Mondays and Fridays. Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, thank you so much, guys, as always.
Great talking to you guys.
Take care, John. Thank you. God bless.
God bless you guys.
See you later.
Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, Johnny in Houston this morning. Mike's in Chicago. And we get together Mondays and Fridays, 7:30 until 8, and discuss the news of the day, news of the world. Always a pleasure. We thank them. 7:58. We got Fox News. That will be coming up next. 93.5, 95.3. The new Connect FM.